Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Being joined right now by the coach and the best darn basketball commentator in the world, Jeff Van Gundy, with us here on ESPN 97.5. He should be happy today, because he had a great meal at State of Grace. He met the guys that bought him for $5,000. Gave $5,000.
They didn't buy him. They won a bid to go have lunch with Jeff. Lunch turned into dinner with Jeff Van Gundy at State of Grace.
They didn't buy him.
Yes. They bought
no, coach
a
was
lunch.
Like,
they
was,
won a bid.
Coach was for sale.
And by the way, they kicked in $5,000 for a lunch. With, no disrespect, Coach, but I mean, that better have been a really good dinner with you.
Well, listen, for $5,000 for Provision, they could have bought me. Like, and my wife would have given me away for that much.
Yeah, well, join the
club. Was, Ron and his group were such great guys, and State of Grace, the food was incredible. The service was impeccable. I understand why it's so hard to get a reservation there.
They are. It's a really great restaurant. You know, the chef is also a sports fan. He's my daughter's baseball coach, T-ball baseball. So Chef Bobby Matos, very happy that you guys had a good dinner there. I knew you'd really really like.
Did you
that.
Tell him a bunch of story, time. A bunch of Knicks stories, Coach.
Yeah, we were talking. They the funny part is a couple of them were lawyers, had an oil and gas private equity guy, so. They some of them love analytics. Some think it's overdone. You know, discussing Westbrook and Knicks stories. So we were there to probably, I don't know, 10-15 or so.
I want to. Oh yeah, you were there for a while. Because I texted you how did it go, and I got a text back at 10:35. So yeah. You said you had just got home. So it must have been. So it was about 3 hours 15 minutes. But that's one of the things is you've got a lot to say about a lot of different topics. It's always entertaining. You know, one thing that I think is interesting is I want to go over, we'll get to Westbrook and all that, but I think it's funny. I remember Dennis Lindsay once telling me that I'd ask about, this is when the analytics movement was very, very, it was in infant stages in basketball. And I said, boy, I bet Coach Van Gundy isn't into that kind of stuff. He goes, actually, he came and put a copy, I think it was Moneyball, on everyone's desk. And you wanted everyone to read that because you wanted everyone to get a better understanding of value and value structure. Because I know back then the Rockets were giving out 7-year deals that were famously way too long for guys who really hadn't proven a whole lot. Can you talk about your opinion of analytics as it pertains to the NBA now? Because obviously it's a massive movement that's reshaping the game.
Well, Dennis Lindsay, the guy you just mentioned, when I was with Houston, he was the assistant general manager and one of the smartest guys you'd ever want to come across. And so he had started down that path, and then they hired Daryl as an assistant general manager my last year in Houston, and then he ascended to the general manager. And obviously people talk about Daryl's way with numbers and analytics, which are just stats on steroids, basically. And I found them to be, you know, a lot of people try to make it out Daryl is overbearing with that. I found it just the opposite. I thought he gave you a lot of information to go through, and you could question it with him. He wasn't sensitive about it. I think it was a great help. And I think the biggest thing is when what you saw with your eyes didn't match up with the numbers, it made you question either the numbers or your eyes, and you had to go back and do further study. And I thought that was the real value of all the numbers that he and his staff produced. And I think Daryl's never been the type of guy who thinks it's just about numbers. I think he's incorporated the use of statistical analysis and using eyes very, very well.
Well, and this comes up a lot with James and isolation and how good he is, Coach, and his effectiveness and PER and all of that stuff. And yet in the postseason, it doesn't work out. There's got to be more to it than just the numbers. There's a gene that Kawhi seems to have, LeBron seems to have, that might be just different. Is it? Is there?
Well, I do think you're right. I think I'd like to see a study done on regular season analytics versus postseason analytics, because what I see in the postseason is the best players on the best teams shooting mid-range jump shots. And maybe it's because the defenses are so elite that they're trying to take away the three-point line. The closeouts, the intensity may be better at getting to the three-point line. Maybe you don't get the same calls at the basket or at the rim where you're trying to do get to the line. So maybe the whole three or layups or free throws needs to be expanded in the postseason. And I think, I believe just from using my eyes, that Harden would be better served taking a couple of mid-range jump shots throughout the course of regular season games. So when those shots are the only ones he can get that are clean looks in the postseason, that he's ready to deliver and be able to have to be guarded at every level of the floor.
And see, and that's why I think the Chris Paul move was such a good move. The unfortunate thing is the monster contract and his age and questions about durability clouds that. But Chris Paul is the guy who could go get you mid-range looks and good ones. And he was highly efficient. Daryl Morey's even said, look, we want good shots. If a guy is an efficient mid-range shooter, that's fine. There's an idea that, and they had to be okay with it because they added Carmelo Anthony before the season, who has always been a mid-range player. But I think that's why you have to be diverse in your offensive approach as well. And you could count on Chris Paul to go do what he needed to do in those spots. The problem was he wasn't there in Game 6, and he wasn't there in Game 7, and they end up going 0 for 27. And Russell Westbrook, let's be honest here. I mean, Russell is also a guy who is not a smooth mid-range guy, but he is a rim attacker. Can Russell Westbrook's ability to get easy baskets in transition or in attacking the rim, can that make up for what they lose with Chris, which was a mid-range player?
It's going to be fascinating, I think. Neither Westbrook or Harden are the same guy they were back in Oklahoma City, where Westbrook was the star and Harden was the developing sixth man type of player. Now they're both at the highest level of NBA stardom, and how much are they willing to sacrifice for each other, which I think they're all in on this move, and how much are they going to commit to the defensive end of the floor? I just cannot wait to watch how it works out for the Rockets.
Does it have to change? Because, listen, as much as you can't look at Russell Westbrook's numbers and say he's a decent three-point shooter, Coach, does he just have to attack the rim, and will James let him have the ball? I mean, it worked out with Chris Paul for the first year, but then Chris Paul got sick of it not being able to have the ball. Both these guys have always had the ball in their hands. Is this going to be able to work out?
Well, that's what's going to be fascinating about it. Trying to predict it is almost foolish, because you don't know what their level of sacrifice is going to be. It's all about the best players, Westbrook and Harden, voluntarily cooperating with each other and with the team to do what's best in that game, in that season, or in the postseason. And I think, you know, the Chris Paul thing, this idea that it didn't work out is a mistake. It worked out very well. The only thing that the Rockets couldn't figure out is how to beat the Warriors, which inflicted most people when they were healthy. So, you know, they lost 2 years in a row to the Warriors. One, Paul was out game 6 and 7. And last year, obviously, a disappointing loss in game 6. But the move for Chris Paul, you know, worked out fabulously if you look at the overall picture. If you look at it, championship or bust, then you're obviously disappointed.
Do you? How do you see Tyson Chandler at this stage of his career? He's a very professional big man with 75 games of post game experience, which is something that, you know, I don't think should be discounted. He's also 36 years old and is going to be 37 this year. How do you envision him with his role with the Rockets? Can he step in seamlessly for what they had with Nene, and then can he step into a greater role if they end up getting a little froggy and end up moving Clint Capella?
Yeah, I think with older players, so much of it depends on, do they still want to be a part of that type of lifestyle? Do they want to keep playing? You know, you can remember aging players who you knew, even though they were still playing, in their mind they were already retired. It'll be interesting for me to see, after Tyson Chandler was with some non-playoff teams, if he can rejuvenate his defensive enthusiasm to give them the mobility that he once, you know, was really good at, but, you know, better than Nene. Now, he's not an offensive player from the standpoint, you know, he's a lob catcher, but people that have been his teammates have raved about his ability to help unite a group. And I think this move may be as much for leadership as it is for tangible basketball skills.
Coach, we were talking about this offseason. Do you remember, I mean, you've been in the game a long time. Do you remember an offseason with this many big moves?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, I saw some coach say it's different now. It's just different. And, you know, people don't stay in the same jobs in regular jobs like they once did, where, you know, you got a job initially in a company and you stayed with that company your whole life, moving up through the ranks. It's the same in pro sports now. A lot of moving around, stars, which you very rarely saw them change teams until the very end of their careers. Now it's just normal that they bounce around. And as a fan, you just have to get used to it. You have to enjoy the team that you have, if you have a really good team at that time, because most likely you're not going to see the same iteration of that team over a long period of time. You got to be ready for change. And I think Pat Riley said it, like when I was an assistant with the Knicks, the only thing that's constant in NBA basketball is change.
And now more than ever. I mean, yep. Now it's unbelievable power shifting change, just massive amounts of change. Before we let you go, I also want to ask you about this. I remember this is like the time of year where John and I would have you in studio when you were head coach with the Rockets. And we would always joke about in-season Van Gundy and out-of-season Van Gundy and how different the two people were when you're in and out of season. And I know the hours that it takes to be at the level when you're coaching. I wondered if you could talk about the different, like, did you feel it? Did you know that, hey, it seems like, you know, life is a whole lot better out of season than in season, or I'm enjoying life a lot more? Did it ever feel like that to you?
Well, you know what's interesting? I think most people, when you're in whatever the person's job is, when it's the most important part of the year, you're going to be in a little bit different frame of mind than you are during more relaxed time. So I never felt like I never felt as bad as I looked. I love the competition and camaraderie over the long course of a season, particularly in the playoffs, particularly in road games, trying to, you know, give a team a plan. But there certainly was a beauty to the respite of the off season, where you could, you know, catch an Astros game, or, you know, leisurely eat out at, you know, a restaurant. So yeah, it's a little bit different, but I always say I looked a hell of a lot worse than I felt.
Speaking of the Astros, if Luno doesn't pick up a pitcher, are you done with him?
I'm not done, but I'm worried. I am worried. Yeah, I mean, hopefully Verlander gets back throwing well. I mean, we have a great lineup. I just, you know, like normal people, right? I know nothing about this, but I just hope we have enough pitching when it comes down to it.
Because you have to. And then I also am interested, because we hadn't talked about this at all, but I know they're different sports, but could you imagine being a head coach and basically a general manager of a basketball team? And football is way harder, and Bill O'Brien is going to have so much on his plate this year. That is a ton to worry about from calendar year to calendar year.
Well, I'm interested in all of it. Like, I don't know anything like most people, right? Like, I don't necessarily totally understand if you are what your record says you are. Brian Gain did a good job. So I'm not sure about all the dynamics that go into it, but you're right. I love Bill O'Brien as both a coach, a competitor, and hopefully he has a lot of people around him that can alleviate all the mundane tasks that have to be attended to from a personnel standpoint, and he can just concentrate on his team and making any major decisions that come along. Because they have a tough, tough schedule, and, you know, Indiana is better, a lot better. It's a tough division. I mean, really tough.
Jeff Van Gundy here. Thanks for doing that last night, Coach. That was awesome. And
no, thank you guys. But don't thank me. Thank you for putting on a golf tournament that benefited ProVision, a charter school in Sunnyside, and setting up the lunch at State of Grace, which couldn't have been more generous or more kind, or and produce a better evening. We just had a heck of a time, and I thank you guys for your generosity, and I thank Ron and his group for their generosity to buy that lunch, because every dollar that's put to ProVision, I can guarantee you, is we are good stewards of money. And Roy Nell Young has done a fabulous job devoting his entire adult life after playing professional football to the betterment of the underserved youth in our community.
That's awesome.
Well, let's make sure and do that
That's
again,
awesome.
Coach,
yep.
Because I think that would be, I think people, we from the bidders that we had people firing up there. I think
we should do one every few months, because I'm telling you, I always have so much, such a good time learning about other people's jobs, and it's such for such a good cause. So anytime a bidder wants to do it and we want to do it, I'm more than up for it.
We'll set it
awesome.
Up. We'll for sure set it up.
Yeah. Art says, hey, Coach, what about us poors? Will you meet us at the taqueria?
now taqueria is a big time restaurant. I could live there.
It's not a problem. That's not a problem.
Coach, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Coach Jeff Van Gundy, right here on ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf, is anybody better at this? No. No one in the world is better at buying cars. He's unbelievable. This dude is going to give you the most money for your car. I mean, yeah, I guess you could. Well, I want to do it right by the dealership. Why? What? Why do you care about the dealership? That's all they want to do is make as much money off of you as they possibly can. It's the truth. They're going to give you as little as they possibly can for that trade-in, and then they're going to take money off of the new car. That's the way they do it, and that's how they make their money, because they're going to resell your car for more money. Well, let John Clay Wolf resell it and not make as much money, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to make less because he's giving you more. All at GiveMeTheVin.com. He's going to be CarMax, otherwise he's going to send you $100. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
You're
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we combined, so we're good. We got a nice long segment here. Thanks to the coach for being with us. We appreciate him. Jim Harbaugh kicked off Big Ten Media Days. He was on Tim Kawakami's show. He's works for The Athletic.
The TK podcast.
Here's what Jim Harbaugh said. Urban Meyer's had a winning record. Really phenomenal record everywhere he's been. But also controversy follows everywhere he's been. Now, you know, that's, you know.
Honestly, that is one could even say it's maybe an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly accurate.
Yeah, but it's just, can you say that if you're a coach?
Well, we are in the can you say that era.
Yes, yes. Are you allowed to say the truth?
Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah.
You can't say that, Jim Harbaugh.
You welcome the accountability that all you can be judged on is your record. What your record is overall, what your record is within your conference, what your record is head-to-head matchups and the other teams you play. I think you find right now that Ohio State is the only team that has a better record than us, has a better conference record than us, and has a better overall head-to-head matchup. But there is that other part. There is the controversy part that follows Urban Meyer. What is Urban Meyer doing now? ESPN is doing some kind of a study or show about morality in football or morality or something. Remember, Urban Meyer is going to be the host of it, and everybody's like, "Now what? Now Urban Meyer?"
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get a list of the. There's an article called Inside, just to make sure we give just to remind people how bad it got at Florida and some of the guys that he brought into the room. This is when you talk about, because the list, I used to know the list by heart. Now it's harder to remember what the list was. Okay, here's some of the guys. Tim Tebow, we know, you know, what he is. But Aaron Hernandez, I think that's well documented. Percy Harvin, Percy had his issues at Florida, to be sure. He beat up a teammate and had to get traded. And he beat up a teammate before the Super Bowl in Seattle, Golden Tate. And then he threatened to beat up Russell Wilson, and they're like, okay, we got to move him. The Pouncey brothers are, you know, I don't think there was anything there with them. Let's see. Riley Cooper. Remember Riley Cooper's act with the – now, that was with the Philadelphia Eagles. We know about that. But he had – Cam Newton was there. He brought him in, got busted for stealing.
Yeah, but the Pounceys were big Aaron Hernandez proponents.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Cam Newton got busted for stealing a laptop and wasn't there for very long. But you had, who was the wide receiver who said it's time to die to his girlfriend? Del, what was his? He played with the Steelers for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Not hard.
Rainey.
Right. Chris Rainey
yep. Told his girlfriend it was time for her to die when he was when they had had a domestic issue. You had a guy named Moss, a D lineman. He had several. Now the weed stuff was they had major issues with that, with positive tests and things like that. I know that from draft work I was doing at that time. And they had some, you know, obviously they had some suspensions at that time, positive tests, whatever. But the list of players that had issues at Florida was substantial. I mean, it was substantial on one team that he had. Really, unlike anything that I ever remember seeing with them. However, when he went to Ohio State, I don't remember there being as much. I don't remember there being as many issues in terms of with player and player conduct. No more so than some other teams have. But we know the big one was the Zach Smith stuff.
Yeah. Well, and Urban Meyer is teaching a class at Ohio State. It's on character. He's right now. He'll be teaching this fall. I guess he's going to be teaching a class at Ohio State on character. A coworker noted, I suppose if you teach a class on how to protect banks from robbers, who better to teach it than the bank robber? So
who said that?
It's someone, a co-worker, Coleman Bentley, noted. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Urban Meyer is definitely, hey, Jim Harbaugh's right. Controversy follows the dude wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. He wins, but he wins at what cost?
And that's the thing. It's not that I don't think that Urban Meyer believes in core values. I think he does. You know, he's coached at Utah before he got to, he's a Notre Dame guy, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, all this stuff. I think he has a set of values, his core values, respect women, no, and Charlie Strong used these, by the way, respect women, no stealing, no drugs, no weapons, and that was something that he believed in, and yet it turned into something way different where it was really, I'm willing to live with this or look the other way if I can win. And when you start seeing the number, you know, we saw that with Art Briles at Baylor. We saw it with, you know, the Zach Smith issue at Ohio State also because he was a great recruiter. And these are the guys we know about. Let's really be honest here. There's a lot of college coaches who are probably willing to put up with a lot of stuff as long as they don't get caught and as long as it can help them win. And they probably don't feel great about it, and they probably, when they got into coaching, never thought they would be that guy. But the pressure to win and the money that's out there and everything that goes with it, I think it fundamentally changes people. The same way I'm sure it fundamentally changes people who are in politics who say, I'm going to go and I'm going to clean up Washington. And then all of a sudden, oh, look at this.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know this works like this. Okay, we'll figure this one out.
See, speaking of politics, Dan Lebatard had a rant yesterday. A lot of it was directed at the president, but it was also directed at ESPN and how they handle politics. You'll hear him talk about Steve Kerr and Pop, and they can say stuff, and that's the only time ESPN is allowed to address it. But he addressed it yesterday. Was this yesterday, though? I guess this was on yesterday's show. Here's Dan Lebatard going off.
This felt un-American, what happened last night, okay? Basically, a chant, send her back, is not, you know, it's not the America that my parents came to get for us, for exiles, for brown people. Like, there's a racial division in this country that's being instigated by the president. And we here at ESPN haven't had the stomach for that fight because Jamel did some things on Twitter and you saw what happened after that. And then here, all of a sudden, nobody talks politics on anything unless we can use one of these sports figures as a meat shield in the most cowardly possible way to discuss these subjects. But what happened last night at this rally is deeply offensive, done by the president of our country. And this tweet from Nick Wright, if you're listening to people chant, send her back, about a Somali refugee who serves in Congress. Nick Wright writes, I don't talk politics on here, but this isn't political. This is obvious. This is abhorrent, obviously racist, dangerous rhetoric, and not calling it out makes you complicit. The send her back chant and the go back to where you came from are so antithetical to what we should be. It is so right what he is saying there. It is so wrong what the president of our country is doing, trying to go down, getting reelected by dividing the masses at a time when the old white man, the old rich white man, feels oppressed, being attacked by minorities. Black people, brown people, women. That's who we're going after now. Black people, brown people, women. And that's the, like, let's do it as the platform. That's what you're seeing. And the only way we can discuss it around here, because this isn't about politics, it's about race. What you're seeing happening around here is about race. And it's been turned into politics. And we only talk about it around here when Steve Kerr or Popovich says something. We don't talk about what is happening unless there's some sort of weak, cowardly sports angle that we can run it through, when sports has always been a place where this stuff changes, where Muhammad Ali was fighting for this stuff in the 60s. The Bill Russell and Jim Brown are really old. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is old. These people who were fighting, the most powerful among us in sports, who are fighting in the civil rights era for things, atrocities happening to black people that we're still paying for now in a country where this is our greatest sin. What has happened to minorities in this country? They're old and dying. Jim Brown walks with a cane, man. He walks with a cane. He's going to go to the grave without having seen change. He's going to go to the grave with Colin Kaepernick still out of the league. Literally blackballed. Because we're taking this stuff and making it about the flag when it's not about the flag.
All right.
That was long.
That was long. Jim Brown hasn't seen any change?
I think he went over the break, by the way. I think he may have gone over the break. I think Le'Batard might have gone on the over the break.
Well, what did AJ call him?
What if he's in the middle of that and Dell's like, got a break.
Break.
Just roll right through it.
I don't know. Listen, I'm not African American in this country, but to say that there's no change since the 60s?
Well, that's obviously a little hyperbole. The rest of it is interesting from a standpoint of, I mean, I'm personally not going to do a whole lot of politics on a Sports Talk show. I know you guys don't care one way or another. I'm not a big fan.
People
of
want you to do that.
The sender back stuff, I'm not a fan. I'll just say that. But regardless of all that stuff, this is going to be interesting to see. I think ESPN's not going to do one single thing about
that. No, I don't think they will either.
Because they're going to be too – they are going to be worried about catching too much heat if they do it. And then maybe they just believe that he has a right to say what he said. I think from a business standpoint, I'm not sure the model is great for them to try to have – because what will happen is you'll find that you get a bump from the political stuff. But then in the long term, I don't think it's going to be great for a sports entity to be as heavily vested in a political sense.
Right.
And so when he says, I understand from a business standpoint why they don't want that, because you don't want to alienate a part of your viewership or listenership or whatever. You don't want to do that. You don't really want to have to do that, because then what happens? If that becomes a norm, then what happens? And then you lose control of your product.
And that's why Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. It's not about the flag. You will alienate half of your audience. You'll just create such – and is he worth it? If he was Tom Brady, he'd be worth it.
Well, people can argue that, and they would probably argue with it, but it's really – I mean, this is really factual. You can argue different elements of it, but there is no arguing that is a hot button issue that is going to that the NFL saw hurt them. It's going to hurt them any way they go or anything. They want it to just go away.
Yeah.
They just want it to go away. That's all they want. And they didn't want it to be a thing. They just don't want any smoke. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot over the last 6 years with CTE, with domestic violence, with that issue, with Colin Kaepernick. The NFL had been just cruising along like, you know, everything was a party. Every year was a party. Everything was up. Money was up. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, it started off with Ray Rice. And then it was CTE. I think Ray Rice came before CTE. I think it was Ray Rice and then the CTE stuff and then the Colin Kaepernick stuff. And they're like, damn, when is this going to stop? Why are we having so much? Why do we have so much heat on us? I don't think Le'Batard will be. He's not going to be.
No, he'll have a talking to, though. I would imagine he'll have a talking to.
Yeah.
You know, he's calling out. You're calling out Mickey Mouse, and Mickey Mouse will not just sit there and take it. Yeah. I think he'll get a talking to. He won't be, not publicly, he won't be, there won't be anything happening. But I'm sure that somebody there at ESPN is going to say, dude, you know, ease up on ESPN.
And what do you think? Dude, now, Dell brought up the point in our notes. What about shouting out Nick Wright from FS1? I don't think that. Would
I
don't, be a
oh,
big
I
deal.
Didn't think that was an issue. I just.
Oh, noticed, you just mentioned just it as an aside.
That, yeah, okay. that he quoted something from Nick Wright.
Speaking of shout outs, what about a shout out for Eric, who's joined? Who's
the good guys?
Yeah, you're with the good guys
or
now.
Bad guys?
Yeah,
I don't
Eric,
know.
We gave you a shout out at 7 this morning. How about wake up early, Eric? How about stop being so lazy?
You're gonna learn this, Eric. There will be turns where John's on my side, and then immediately. You'll realize John's never on your side.
John's always on everybody's side.
Eric, depending on Eric Lopez, by the way. Eric. We're talking to you, Eric Lopez.
Yeah, Eric Lopez.
Eric, you can be his foil or his buddy. It just depends on what he needs to get done.
How about stop being so lazy?
What? Maybe he had a. Maybe he works till like midnight.
So get up.
And do what? And listen to this show?
I don't care. Don't tell me how big the waves are. Bring
John,
the ship in.
You know you're doing a service for him. He doesn't serve you, right? You know that, right?
Listen, Eric is here. If he's going to be
it's about
a
time Eric
loyal
here.
Listener, then you know what? Get up on time.
Eric, I will tell you.
If you're missing some of the show, then that's on you.
Eric, I will tell you, we do have a podcast page, Podcast Arena. So if you are silly enough to want to listen to these guys again, you can go there and find anything you missed. I don't understand it, but it's there available for you.
And, oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard, who was it? Who was here with us yesterday? Bandor?
Bandor? Radu.
Hold on. Bandor. Bandor?
It's a character.
He's not a character from Star Wars.
Radu. Radu was with us yesterday. He said, oh, who gets the most hits on the podcast? That's right. Del.
That's right, Del.
Yeah, Del.
I'm aware. I've put up the podcast, too.
Yeah. And so, Radu just told you to shove it.
No, he told me that, and I said at the time, I was incredulous about it then, too, just like I am now.
Well,
I don't get it.
Guess what?
These guys are just
because the people are smart. The people have spoken.
The people,
they want to send you back.
I was born here. You can't, where are you going to
send
me to?
They want
to
send you back.
Send me
to
back
Elvin,
where?
Wherever you're at.
I was born here. Where are you going to send me
How
back
How about
to?
When John was talking about Fromber getting sent down, and Dan Holden goes, I'm sorry, did John just say send him back?
Yes.
To the minors?
To the minors. What if a chant, that minute made that broke out?
Whenever somebody's getting bombed, I'm like, please let it be a white pitcher. Please let it be Tyler White. He's got no options left. You can't even send him back. You just have to cut him.
Anytime a call up from
Jack
the minors.
Jack Mayfield. Please let it be Jack Mayfield.
Send him back. Jack Mayfield's like, no. I'm an American. You can't do that to me.
I was part of this organization. Yeah, but not really.
Yeah, send him back to Round Rock. Send him back to Round Rock. Let's go. Time for me to talk about oops. Now, you may have had an oops. You may have spilled some wine, red wine, on your carpet or on your couch. And, well, then you got to toss it. No, you don't. Maybe you urinated all over your carpet, which is... Hey, listen, I don't know why you would do that, but that's on you. I don't know what kind of how you're living in the squalor, but all I know is that what you need to do is go to oopssteam.com. Oopssteam.com. 250 degree heat water, and the steam comes out and cleans it. That's how you clean it. You don't use soaps, don't use any detergents because some of it's going to be left behind. So these other carpet cleaning companies that are used in that, soap, no, don't do it. Commercial cleaning, drape cleaning, water removal if you had water, dryer vent. You don't think about your dryer vent. That has caused fires in homes to clog dryer vents. Steel, tile, grout, bathroom, kitchen, stone. They'll clean everything. They're really, really, really good. And if you're looking for, and oh, by the way, they have background screen professionals, employees, not contractors. So they are going to be, you want someone that you can trust in your home, and they do background checks on all of their drivers. All you got to do is go to oopssteam.com. That's oopssteam.com. Get a free quote. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, 281-822-0561.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You going to the Astros tonight, though?
Why would I do that?
Because they're playing. They're in town and Justin Verlander's on the mound.
There's a TV in my home. I can watch them play.
It's minor against Verlander, dude.
Well, that doesn't make me want to go. I mean, there's a TV at my home I can watch and then go about the rest of my night as opposed to...
Well, why would you want to not watch the game?
Why would I want to go to Minute Maid and watch the Astros?
Fun?
It's drinking? Not fun. I don't drink. You know that.
How about Verlander against Minor?
You said that twice, and still, there's no appeal to me going to a game when I can watch it at home.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is fireworks night, isn't it?
95 Bulls, so 96 Bulls, so you got nothing.
Well, I was a Heat fan. Why would I root for the Bulls?
Did you get a chance to go see a historic team?
I don't care. They're not my team.
Wow, he's loyal.
You never saw Michael Jordan play?
I did, but I wasn't going to go watch him play just because it's Michael Jordan.
Well, so you did see him play?
Yeah, on TV, yeah.
You never saw him in person?
No.
You didn't want to see Michael Jordan play.
I never saw Michael Jordan in person.
You didn't?
First, I mean, he came to Houston once a year. Whatever.
So?
He came to Houston once a year.
That's not enough for you?
I didn't have the money. Well, first of all, I was a teenage. I was a junior high at first, and then into high school. I didn't have the money to go to a Rocket game. We didn't go to Rocket games. If my dad wasn't taking me or my mom, we didn't go to games that often.
Well, there was no
way I could have seen him.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan. I lived in Richmond, Rosenberg. I couldn't take the L. I had a long-ass drive down 59.
That's on you for living in Richmond, Rosenberg. One lives there.
Well, he was a child. He didn't have really a choice.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Lamar National is getting some – the boys' baseball team is getting some love.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Do you think
yeah, they've won that. They won like a national championship a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, no, I think today they're getting that love. Phelan sent it to me. Said they're getting – so for some reason they're getting love. All-star pep rally. Oh, I guess they're going off to state. Maybe they're going up. Did they win state? And are they going to World Series?
Mm.
Isn't a little league World Series coming up? I would imagine. Right? Anyway, is Lamar National going? Congratulations, guys. Way to go. If you are. If you're not, you should have. Then you suck. Okay? That's on you.
We get somebody. Somebody just tweeted us this, Dale. Hey, John and Lance, if one of you guys was the program director at ESPN 97.5, would you pick your own show to go to Europe for the Texans game like that other jackass did? Double rods. Stop trying to create. See, you know what this is?
Yeah.
This is trying to create division.
We don't. No, we're unified. It's like the
president. Trying to create division. He's trying to say.
AJ is like President Trump. He has brought all of us together in unity.
No, I think it's the other way where he's trying to say, and this guy's trying to say, send them back from Europe back to Houston. We don't want them here.
Or
we
send
want
the them other to Europe show.
Well, technically they might be of European descent. It could be a
citizen. Technically. I don't know what Fowler is. Probably some kind of communist country.
I don't know if Fred's of European descent. Is he?
He
feels French.
I don't think he's being French.
Yeah, he feels French.
I don't know about that.
Fowler?
It feels Czechoslovakian or something.
Fred
something Fowl. Where there's communism.
Fred Fowler.
Aren't you
eats West Hall.
You're of Italian descent, right?
Right.
What was Mussolini again?
A dictator.
Fascist.
Yeah, we don't do
you're a fascist.
We don't do communism.
Fascism is what you were about.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Some people would say it's going on here.
Dell, you're gonna get sent back to Alvin.
I didn't. I wasn't born in Alvin.
Were you born in
Alvin? Would be the least likely place for me to get sent back. Like, why are you sending him here? We don't want him here.
Did you spend any time in Alvin?
I went to Alvin Community College.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Home of back to Wharton.
Home of the Dolphins.
The Dolphins
and Nolan Ryan. Apparently, that's they told us that.
Apparently, yeah,
yeah.
The Alvin Express is where he's from. That's right. Dale.
Apparently. Is that what you just said? Apparently.
Ping pong, whatever. I don't know where he's from.
Oh, my God. That's the worst.
Alvin Amarillo doesn't matter to me.
Anyway, do you think all the 610 shows are going to Europe? I would imagine they're going all going to London.
No, they're not. They cost money. Who's paying?
I think they'll probably send them.
I don't think so. I'm still going to try to go, but I'm just waiting. In debate.
Ooh, Lamar National and Post Oak 12 and under both play in Tyler this weekend for state. Okay. Winner plays regionals in Waco.
All right, good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
And for a spot in the Little League World Series. Congratulations. Hey, Post Oak ain't no joke. That's that program's real too. We got some good programs here.
Yep.
Good programs.
You're for sure not going to London.
No, because AJ, who's our program director, decided their show should go.
Just real quiet, like, hey guys, we're going to Europe, so if y'all need anything, let me know. Hey, wait. What? Show would actually be on at a prime time. It would be great. Your show's on like at midnight. Yeah, but we're the number one rated show. Mm. No, we are the number one rated show.
Mm-mm.
Can I be program director? Excuse me, Mr. Gow. I'm going to chase him down.
Excuse me.
I'm going to say, excuse me, Mr. Gow. Excuse me. Hello, sir. Excuse me, sir. Can John and I go to London, please?
Mm.
You'll have to talk to AJ. He's not here. He's in Las Vegas at a fight, making him and Fred have other trips.
Hmm.
What is it? Are they? Let me ask you a question. Do they host radio shows or are they travel agents? Which one? Are they travel agents or radio hosts?
Well, and then there's Charlie. The Summer of Charlie.
I used to that. To me, y'all are sleeping on this. I saw this up close. Like I said, Chris Sola said, when Charlie creates his vacation app, that where you just plug in the days that you need vacation, I mean, how many vacation days you have, and you have to plug in your...
Charlie uses analytics on this.
Oh, 100%.
All right, 8:56, we got to take a break. Raheel joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.